Hi, this is Kristen from naturalbirthandbabycare.com, and tonight on my interview I have Wintergreen with me, and she is director of Common Knowledge Trust, which is a New Zealand registered charity. It developed what has become Birthing Better with the Pink Kit method in the early 1970s with hundreds of different families' input. And Wintergreen, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, hi, Kristen. It's nice talking with you. I've just been very committed to passing on the skills that the families and I developed over a period of 10 years. And so I just sort of feel that I am the conduit through Common Knowledge Trust to make certain that the next generation of families become skilled in their pregnancy and are skilled in the birth of their baby.
Great. Okay, well, tonight we are going to talk a little bit about just about preparing for childbirth. And why we might prepare, why some people think we shouldn't prepare, just to discuss that. I've gotten a lot of questions about do I need to practice for birth? What does practicing for birth mean? So I wanted to go into that a little bit. And I wanted to go into first why, regardless of where we choose to give birth or even how we choose to give birth, why it's important for all women to prepare for birth.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. And, you know, I'm 40 years down the road in this, so I've had a lot of experience with, you know, this question. I think that what's important, because you and I are a different age. I'm 66. When I gave birth to my daughter in 1970 in the U.S., every family pretty much did Lamaze. I mean, it was like a societal expectation.
Okay.
You know, that's what you did. You went to class. You did your Lamaze top contractions. They, you know, picked up your arms to see if you were like a rag doll. And so everybody went in. And what was happening in the hospitals particularly, fathers were coming in. You could birth in the same room. There was rooming in. You know, they were going to stop shaving you and giving you enemas. So a lot of the changes that people want in childbirth were occurring when I had my daughter in 1970. And with those changes, we would go in and we would use the breathing techniques and the relaxation techniques. And there were still standards of care that happened. You know, you have a vaginal exam done periodically, and you couldn't get up and walk around a lot. But everybody went in and with their skills, pretty much. But when I had my son in 1982, that had changed. And, you know, I don't want people who are passionate about natural childbirth to misunderstand what I'm about to say. But there was a societal expectation during the 60s and 70s, that families go in with skills. But when the natural birth movement became the stronger voice, then the message changed to families, which was birth is natural. Cats, which you're holding in your lap at the moment,
yes,
aren't taught to birth. So women don't need to be taught to birth. You don't need to be taught breathing exercises. You breathe all the time. You'll breathe in labor. And you're the mother. You'll know what to do on the day. So when I gave birth to my son in 1982, childbirth classes had changed from being skills-based to information-based. So families then went into childbirth classes. They may have been taught a little bit of relaxation and breathing, but mostly they talked about the pros and cons of what were called medical interventions. And there was an encouragement then for people to make birth plans. When the Pink Kit started to develop in the early 70s, it came from families that, one, is there weren't a lot of choices. So there were some families that just didn't have choices. I work a lot with people with faith-based communities who wouldn't take blood products,
yeah,
and so they wanted to avoid complications. I worked with a lot of families that the Lamaze techniques didn't always work well for them. And Lamaze was based on wanting to achieve natural births. So families that, for whatever reason, were going to have medical births, wanted to have skills because they didn't feel that they could achieve a natural birth because of the situation. And what I found was that I didn't have any interest in childbirth. Everybody says, how can you not have an interest in childbirth? I don't have an interest in childbirth. I have an interest in skills, right? I just happened to develop something around skills in childbirth. And that was because I worked with people who were pregnant, and your mom, for instance, who, when she had you, her tailbone had, you know, become sore, and she, you know, 50 years later, she didn't want to have a sore tailbone.
Yeah.
So we found out that what we had in common, and the only thing we had in common, was our bodies. And men and women shared the same body. So birthing better with the pink kit became a system that was about how to prepare our pregnant body to give birth to this object that we housed inside it. And that as parents, we wanted to enjoy preparing for the birth of our baby because we were going to have a baby.
Yes.
And during the birth of our baby, we wanted to be able to work together as a family unit, and we wanted to work with our baby's efforts to be born. And so that's as simple as it gets. We don't take it into anything really more complicated than that.
So we want to prepare the body to give birth because all pregnant women have a baby inside that needs to come out, and all of our bodies are getting ready for birth. And so we learn to work with them. And I think it's interesting what you said about how before the natural birth movement started, we went into birth with skills. Or, you know, you took Lamaze classes to develop skills, and the moms were expected to be able, you know, where they maybe were expected to be able to work with labor. Whereas now, I mean, obviously I'm a natural childbirth advocate, but I agree with you, and I think that now a lot of women are told, well, you can just trust your body, but I'd say that probably 99% of the women preparing to give birth, they don't really understand what that means. I mean, they're not exposed to birth. They don't see their, you know, moms and aunts and sisters giving birth to understand the work. You know, the work of birth, and we're going to talk about the work of birth more later, but, you know, I think that it's a fallacy that you can just dance into your labor and all of a sudden know exactly what to do if you haven't prepared for anything, which is why I think that the skills that you're talking about are so vital and important. And if you can hear purring, it's because I have my cat in my lap.
Yeah.
And she's got a loud motor.
Very affectionate cat.
Yes.
I think, I mean, you know, Kristen, you and I have gotten to know each other because you use the pink kit for your fourth baby. Yesterday I was at the bank and I'm opening an account because we want to sell the pink kit on Amazon. And we have to have a U.S. bank account. And the woman who's opening up the account is a woman probably in her mid-50s. And she said to me, what is it that you actually are selling? And so I explained we're selling as pregnancy childbirth resource, and she said, oh, when I had my children, she had her children 40 years ago, they had used Lamaze. And she said, I had a wonderful natural birth. Now, that natural birth took place in hospital. She was shaved. She had an enema.
Yeah.
She had to stay in bed. She was strapped down during delivery. But she still felt, because of the skills, that she had a natural birth experience. And how helpful her husband was. So it's not just skilling us as women, it's skilling men. And because the birthing better with a pink is all about our body, men share the same body.
Yes.
So one is, she taught with absolute, just loved giving birth to her two daughters. And when her daughters were pregnant, they took childbirth classes in which they got information. And she realized that they were going into their birth situations without the skills that she and their father had had. And that upset her. So she taught them, as fast as she could, the skills that she had used. Now, my daughter had a baby 5 months ago, and she had a placenta previa. And so she was told maybe she could have a trial of labor, maybe not. She would have liked to have labored and had a vaginal delivery, but it turned out that she bled at 31 weeks, that she was going to probably have a non-laboring delivery. The birthing better skills, and what we want people to understand is that, and you said it, your body is preparing to give birth. It's your head that knows you're having a cesarean.
Yes.
Your body is still preparing to labor. But why, even if you need a non-laboring cesarean, why would you not want to enjoy taking time during your pregnancy to prepare for the birth of your baby and to get the pleasure of preparing your body in order to give birth? Now, my daughter and son-in-law got that. They understood that. One is because I'm their mom, and so I get to explain that to them. But they're having their first baby at 40, and they just thoroughly loved taking the time in the last 16 weeks to prepare her body. They loved it. They even did the internal work. They didn't do that every day because they knew they weren't going to have a vaginal birth at a certain point, but they loved doing it. And what they did was the day before the cesarean, she was having Braxton Hicks contractions, so they treated that as an early labor. And they just used the skills all that day, and then they used the skills on the way to the hospital, and while she was being prepped, and during the surgery. And so what we're trying to do is, as a trust, and I as the spokesperson for the trust, is to try to change the dialogue in childbirth. Right now, and since the early 80s, the dialogue has been natural birth versus medical, doctors versus midwife,
yeah,
home versus hospital. But for birthing better, what we're saying is you're having a baby. That's it. You're having a baby.
Yeah, so
wherever, however, you just want to get have the skills so that you can enjoy working with your baby's efforts to be born.
Yeah, so regardless of where you're going to give birth or how you're going to give birth or who you're going to give birth with, you're somehow going to give birth. And like you pointed out with your daughter, I mean, even if it turns out that you need a cesarean, a non-laboring cesarean, or one of the perhaps rare today, actual emergency cesareans, but I mean, regardless of what you need, being skilled and growing skilled during your pregnancy benefits you because you can use the, you know, the breathing and all those skills to you know, to relax during any sort of intervention that you have. I got a birth story submitted to me just last week. The baby's name was Jamin, and his mom ended up being induced, but she and her husband had worked through the pink kit, and so even though she was induced, strapped to an IV, stuck in bed, this, that, and the other, she was able to work with everything, and she mentioned she was, you know, her husband, because they had worked together during her pregnancy, I mean, they were able to work, and in fact, they were working together so well that he didn't think he was doing anything, you know, so he turned to start talking about something on the television, and she said, you know, no, you need to come back, because I need you. And it was then that he realized, well, you know, it's because we communicated and because we practiced, you know, the skills. And I feel like, you know, like you said, Scott and I used the pink kit for my fourth baby, Galen, and I'm sure that Scott would say that I was the one who did all the work with Galen, and Galen's birth was a surprise to us because he came so quickly that our midwife didn't arrive. But I mean, he and I were able to work together and use the skills because we'd practiced. And I know that, you know, even if the midwife had gotten there, or if something had, you know, if we'd encountered a complication and had to go to the hospital, I still would have used the skills. And
yeah.
I mean, I think that, and I'll share one more thing from my personal experience. When I initially reviewed the pink kit was after my third baby, Brennan, was born, and I wanted to give it a thorough review for my site, so I did all the internal work and everything because I just really wanted to experience it, and I had some long-lasting pain after Brennan's birth that went away once I went through the internal work and everything. And I mean, so I think that your body is a birthing body no matter what or how you give birth or how. Well, I had a wonderful birth with Brennan, but I still had some soreness and stuff that benefited from just working through the skills. And I think, you know, I think what it comes down to is we're all women and we're all human and we all have a body. And, you know, you should prepare for birth no matter where or how you're going to give birth. Or, I mean, if you feel like, you don't need to feel like you're living up to somebody else's standard. And just because, oh, I'm not planning a home birth with a hippie midwife doesn't mean that, or even if you say, well, I'm preparing for a home birth with a hippie midwife, so I don't need to do anything. Or maybe you say, well, I'm not one of those hippie women, so I'm just going to sit back and let the doctor do it. But in reality, you know, you're still giving birth no matter what the situation is. And so you need to be skilled and ready. You can't, you know, you don't just sit back and cruise through it regardless of the situation. There's benefits, you know, and it will help your birth be better no matter what or where you encounter your birthing situation.
I mean, I think there's a lot of confusion around birth right now. You know, I mean, I feel so old about this that it's like I feel like I could instruct everybody over the histories of it. And because I don't have an agenda about childbirth other than be skilled, I think it is hard for people to understand that you need to practice for something that happens in one day. You can't repeat it, and you can't try it out beforehand.
Yeah.
So I think that's very, very, very difficult for people to understand that they're practicing to something that you said at the beginning we don't have any exposure to. So you don't have exposure. If you see a birth video, you often see just the delivery of the baby. There's a lot of political debate in childbirth, and so people are confused between whether you trust birth, and the assumption is that if you don't just trust birth, therefore you're afraid of birth. It doesn't matter what your feelings are about birth. Women who are skilled can be terrified of birth. In fact, women who are confident about birth and find it more painful than they thought it was, they can you can rely on your skills. Now, you do have to practice, and we tell people you need to start around at 24 weeks. You begin to feel your baby. Your body's beginning to head down that inevitable slide that says, you know, you are going to go into labor. And so you want to take time, because if you wait too late, then your mind isn't really as focused and you feel like you're sort of cramming. And we try to give an analogy about driving a car. At the moment in our society, if you want to drive a car, it doesn't matter if you have health problems, if you drink, if you smoke, what you eat, what your religion is, what your beliefs are, anything, society requires you to learn the same set of skills. And you have to go and take a driving test and prove it. In childbirth, there is no expectation that you're skilled, right? So the focus has been more on choice, and the focus has been on place and who's going to be the care provider. We want to re-language it back to us as families, because it is a one-off experience, and you've had four kids, and each of your births are different.
Yeah.
So the fact is that we want people to practice, so they need to make certain that the skills they learn are integrated from their mind into their body. And there are a bunch of skills. Just like when you drive a car, you don't learn how to steer before you learn how to brake, or before you learn how to turn, or before you learn how to look in the mirrors. You have to do all these things at the same time. So when people go through the resource, they often say, what do I learn first? Now, on your website, you went through and told people how you learned.
Yes.
And that's very important. And we tell people just browse through the package and, you know, decide what you want to learn now and learn that. Because some people want to learn the breathing first because that's the most common. The mapping of the pelvis is often unfamiliar with people, how to learn about the pelvis. So we just tell people, learn whatever you want. But if you need instruction, whoever's listening to this, go to Kristen's website, and she will tell you how she and Scott learned, okay, which is very good. And so what we want people to do is practice integrated so that their body and their mind is working together, and a lot of stuff you can do while you're sitting there. You know, you're sitting on two sit bones, so you can pay attention to whether they're as open as they should be. You can go around the pelvic cloth when you're sitting there. You know, you can think about how you inhale and open up your pelvis and exhale and soften your pelvis. So those things you can do during the day to get yourself better at it. There's one husband who knew that his wife had tight bum muscles, and every time she passed him, he patted on the bum. And that reminded her to let go of the muscles. She didn't care whether he gave her a massage. It meant more to her if he noticed that. Right? And, you know, so it's very important that people understand that whatever the debate is, whatever they're reading, they need to know that birth will happen to them. It is a physiological process. So is hunger. Do you know what foods are poisonous or safe? Intuitively. No, you don't. And if you have children, you know darn well that when they reach out for a deadly nightshade little purple berry, that you want them to learn the difference between that little purple berry and a blueberry. Right? So you teach them. So even if they're hungry, you need to teach children what foods are safe or poisonous. And even though you're going to physiologically give birth, we believe very strongly that you need to have skills to do this activity so that when you look back on it, as you have with your birth, it's what you did rather than what happened to you.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Skills rock.
Yes. Okay, so let's look at this notion of practicing a little bit more, because I've gotten the question of, you know, should I practice for birth, or how can I practice for birth? So why don't you just tell us what, you know, you've mentioned a couple, the breathing and the pelvic clock, you know, just maybe what a practical application for a practice session during the course of, you know, a pregnant woman's daily life with her partner. What might a practice session look like? I mean, is she down on her hands and knees grunting, or is it, you know, what does this look like to her?
First of all, you know within the four discs, most people don't. So the four discs has a DVD in it. That DVD is broken up into eight sections. And when you look at the DVD, everybody, this was made a long, long time ago. It is not the most entertaining thing. It is full of skills. And you get to see me with a pelvis, okay? And one of our trustees, Carrie, who has 3 out of 4 pink kid babies. Okay, so the DVD goes through the body work. It teaches you how to identify what the space is that your baby has to come through when it comes through the pelvis. Okay, that's a tube. And men get it. We call it an exercise in plumbing. Big object has to come out of the container. It has to open up the cervix or a diaphragm, it has to come through the tube, which is your pelvis, and then it has to come down a soft tube, which is the birth canal, and open up an aperture, which is the vaginal opening, if you have a labor and vaginal delivery. So you want to know what the shape of that tube is like, and you want to know that that tube has pieces parts to it. It has 2 hip blade parts, and it has a sacrum, and that's the triangular bone in your back. And the relationship of those pieces parts moves. So on that DVD, you'll learn how to identify, you know, what the shape is that your baby has come through, because that once you learn that shape, that will guide you into the positions that keep you open. Right now, people are told, get into positions or change positions, but you have to get into positions that keep you open. Doesn't matter what position you're in. You have to stay open in that position.
Yeah.
Because it's an exercise in plumbing, a big object coming through there. So on the DVD, you'll learn all about the body work. You'll learn about the hip lift, how to make space side to side. You'll learn about the sacral maneuver, how to make space front to back. You'll learn about the sit bone spread, which is how to expand the muscles that run from the bones you sit on to the edge of the sacrum. So you're going to learn those things. And what you do is go through each section, 20 minutes, then spend a few minutes practicing that, and then think about it during the day. You don't always have to practice it. You just think about it.
Yeah.
Then we have a CD that has 4 books on it. Those 4 books have one resource called New Focus, Breath, Language, and Touch. that has all of the breathing, how to communicate both verbally and non-verbally, and an effective form of touch that doesn't tire your husband and that helps you relax as a cue. Because there's a belief that women don't like to be touched and labored. Women do like to be touched and labored. They just like to be touched in the right way,
yes,
in the right place, at the right time. So the deep touch relaxation will teach men to use touch as a cue to help women relax in specific places. We also know that women don't like to be told to relax in labor. They turn around and tell you to shut up. Or, you know, now women want to relax in labor,
yes,
but we found that was too big a word. We had to tell them where to relax. So if we use the right hip, and we said, and everybody listening to this, do this now, we relax inside your right hip. Now what we found was that people got their right hip, but the word relax didn't trigger any particular change. So we learned in the communication section that you had to change the word. So now do this. I'm going to use a different word. Soften inside your right hip. And we found for most people, the word soften allowed them to let go of sometimes unknown tension in their right hip. So we knew that if a husband or a partner said to a woman, soften inside your right hip, that the woman could do that. So then if we went around the pelvic clock and said, soften inside your right hip, soften inside the sacrum, soften inside the left hip, soften inside your lower belly, people couldn't do it that fast. So we had to learn timing. So now when you learn the pelvic clock and you work together, do this. Soften inside your right hip. Soften inside your sacrum. That's in the back. Soften inside your left hip. And soften inside your belly and inside your pubic bone. Now, how do I know that timing? I know that timing because I have to do it inside my body.
Yeah.
And because I do it inside my body, you're another human being. It's going to take you about as much time.
Yep.
So your partner can say that to you, do it in his body. You know he's doing it. You know he's connected to you. So in the new focus, breath, language, and touch, you're going to learn that communication, and then you're going to connect that to a deep touch relaxation. The breathing, everybody's been told pretty much, you breathe all the time. You do breathe all the time. You're going to breathe in labor. You will. And some childbirth systems teach breathing. But what families taught me was you can't teach techniques. They work for some people, don't work for other people. So what's the difference between a technique and a skill? A technique tends to be breathe in your nose and out your mouth. Okay? So what we found, the difference between a skill and a technique is that we can breathe in the nose and out the mouth and sound like this. Or we can sound like this. Right? So we had to actually go through and find out the four ways humans breathe. And if you don't automatically know that, then you are already lacking skills. Once you learn the four ways humans breathe, you have to go back and say, when we breathe, like type one, when are we using that in our life, and what are the variations? So if you don't automatically know that, then you're at a disadvantage. So we breathe in the nose and out the nose, and then the three other ways, in the nose and out the mouth, etc. So if we take in the nose and out the mouth, and we say, when do we use that in life? When do we use that in life? Most people go, yeah, well, I don't know. So we know we don't know. Some people will say, well, when you relax. Yeah. Oh, relax. Great. But when you're climbing stairs or exercising, you'll start to go, sex, I know. And so what we found is that breathing in the nose and out the mouth, that varies as humans. So in labor, if we're going to use in the nose and out the mouth, we have to do that in order to create relaxation.
Yes.
And the difference between a technique and a skill is what you hear. So if you hear a woman breathing in her nose, out the mouth, and you hear her going, ah, ah, she doesn't sound relaxed.
Yeah, she's not.
So she's trying to use a technique, but she doesn't have the skill to know how to use her inhale to open her body and her exhale to soften inside her pelvis. So that's the difference between techniques and skills. So once you've learned the skill in the Birthing Better resource, then just start to mentally practice it. Pay attention, be aware, and then begin to integrate these things together. And that's why it does take about 16 weeks, a little bit of time. So it doesn't really have to be a practice session so much as learning a skill and then trying it out, you know, as you're driving the car or taking a bus or walking your kids and stuff like that. You know, if you've labored before, it's applying those skills to what you remember of the previous birth.
Okay. So it's, yeah, I like the way you put it. You know, you sort of integrate it into your daily life. And I know that as I work through the Pink Kit, and especially as I learned about the structure of the pelvis, which I think it, I mean, a lot of childbirth courses show you a really pretty 3D recording of, or, you know, 3D animation of the pelvis and how the baby moves through, but the Pink Kit really takes you through your pelvis, you know.
Right.
And so as I learned about my pelvis and I went throughout the day, I was able to, you know, as I went through my day and as I was sitting or as I stood up or as I was walking up the stairs or walking down the street with the kids or whatever, I was able to notice how it felt and what made me feel more open and what made me feel tight. You know, I became aware. And with the breathing, once you've learned the skill, again, you become more aware. And I think that at that point, like you said, you begin to be able to integrate it into your life. And, you know, and like you said, your daughter's experience when she had the Braxton Hicks contractions. I mean, we get these wonderful Braxton Hicks contractions. Some of us throughout a large portion of the pregnancy, I've always have a lot of Braxton Hicks contractions. And I mean, that's a time when you can really feel how your breath affects things. And, you know, it's sort of a natural, just, I think I've said about 3 times now, but just integrating it into your life. And also I think that, you know, you and your partner can integrate the learning from the Pink Kit and that awareness into life too, because there are situations where, you know, you might be stressed out or your partner may be stressed out because of something totally unrelated to the pregnancy, but then, you know, you can still observe with each other, how do I respond to this stress and where do I tend to hold the stress? You know, he can see that, you know, a particular woman might hold stress in her forehead and another might hold stress in her chest, and he can begin to observe that.
Yep.
And once you have that awareness from learning the skills, you can then use that awareness to prepare for birth in all kinds of different ways.
Yeah, and that's very important. I mean, a lot of men really feel a bit excluded from pregnancy and childbirth. People don't want them to, because when fathers came in, women wanted them there. It wasn't birth professionals that wanted
yeah.
them, one way or the other. I mean, they did not want them, but it was the women who didn't want to be left alone. They wanted somebody to help them. So if we want our partners to be there, whether it's a sister or a relative or a husband or a partner, we want them skilled. It's a tremendous disadvantage to have people be there without knowing how to help us. When Lamaze was popular in the 60s and 70s, fathers were called birth coaches. The natural birth movement said, no, you don't want to have somebody standing on the sideline telling women what to do. So they changed the word to birth support. But supporting somebody isn't the same as knowing how to help them. Doesn't matter what you call the person who's going to be with you. They
yeah.
need to have skills. It's a disadvantage to have them there when they feel useless. Now, there are 2 things I want to say. One is, in the 4-disc set, we have the DVD, which is the body work. We have the CD that has the four books on it, of which one of them is the new focus with the breath, language, and touch. We have an audio tape that teaches you the internal work, teaches your partner, so Scott could learn, then you could learn. And then we have a birth journey. First part of the birth journey is having women imagine going up, being the coach for a husband who's taking a walk up a mountain, a long journey up a mountain. So you want women to develop the empathy to know what it's like to help somebody who's giving birth. Okay? So it's a four-disc set. And it's not perfect in this presentation. It's informative with the skills. But there's one thing that most pregnant families really don't get in this that we really need to tell you. You may never have seen a birth. You were fortunate, Kristen. You've now been at four births. Maybe you've been at some other births. Okay? But most people aren't at a lot of births unless they're their own. But when they go to the hospital or when their midwife comes to their home, those birth professionals have seen hundreds and sometimes thousands of families in labor. In the 70s, what those birth professionals saw, by and large, were skilled families. Okay? And that's when VBACs became very possible. Because when birth professionals see women coping with pain, and fathers really helping them, the birth professionals relax. They may want to do some assessments. They may want to do some monitoring and procedures. They do not want to see you suffer in childbirth. And when women are not acting, behaving, managing, coping, or dealing with this well, then they want to come in and help.
Yeah.
And that's called pain relief. Okay? So what we're seeing now, what we've seen since the 80s, with a decrease in the skilling, is that fewer families, when I go to conferences and ask midwives, how many women do you see skilled now? Less than 1 in 10. How many fathers? Less than 1 in 10. Now, Andrea, the midwife in New Zealand, who insists all of her clients, she gives a pink kit to every single one of them, because she had been in practice for 20 years, and she was tired. She was exhausted, and she now says, you guys have got to self-learn these skills. She gets 85% of her clients, 80 clients a year, to self-learn these skills, no matter whether they're going to have a medical or natural birth, home birth, or what. She just insists they become skilled. So she sees 8 out of 10 of her clients skilled. She sees 7 out of 10 of the fathers skilled, which means that she is more relaxed as a care provider. She's less burned out. She's enjoying the experience of being at birth a lot more. So when you're listening to this, if you're a parent-to-be and you're going to go and be with a birth professional, you want to make two birth plans. First birth plan is the conventional one, what you want from them. But the second birth plan, you need to tell them how you're preparing your body, what skills you're learning, and what skills they will see you use. You know, responsibility around childbirth goes both ways. A birth plan is not a wish list. It's not items on the menu. You know,
yeah.
If you don't want pain relief, then you need the skills so that you can cope with the pain. Maybe the pain is going to be as great as you think it is. Okay, maybe it's going to be worse. It may not be any worse. You know, somebody else might say, okay, well, that's a perception issue. But you could go in totally trusting birth and then have a really quick labor where your contractions are 10 seconds apart, lasting 90 seconds long, and they just progress so quickly that you just feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to make certain that whatever unfolds, you are going to cope with and manage. And as Carrie, who's on the DVD, said, I mean, she said it very succinctly. She said, I had a choice at every single moment of my birth. And I said, what was that choice? Was it to use medical interventions? And she said, oh, no, 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 no. My choice was, how did I breathe in and how did I breathe out? So, you know, and that's what it boils down to, is we do see and hear ourselves in that experience. And unlike some of the messages that says get out of your neocortex, when you're a skill, you want to use your neocortex to tell your body what to do. Now, you may have a negative voice, and we talk about that. You may have, I had one when I gave birth to my son. He was 8 weeks premature. I went into a strange hospital. I had the skills. I was so skilled, they just let me give birth to him, and they stood around and watched me. But I had a negative voice. My labors progressed very, very quickly. And I had one negative voice that went F, 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 and the other voice said, you know, breathe in, you know, stay open like you did when you were walking. What keeps me open? What keeps me open? So I just used my managing voice to overcome the negative voice because I had skills. And we talk about that in the Birthing Better resource.
Yes, and I when Galen was being born, I was definitely, you know, feeling labor in my body and all of that sort of touchy-feely kind of stuff that everybody likes to talk about with natural birth. But, I mean, the primary voice in my head was, you know, I want to open for my baby. I want to open for my baby. And I just said that, and, you know, and I told my body that. And that's probably one of the reasons why Galen came so quickly. Because I just, you know, because I just decided I've done this 3 times before, and, you know, I know what it feels like to be opening, and I'm just going to welcome that. And so I was just continuously telling my body, I want to open. What can I do, you know? Can I get up and walk around? Or I used a birth ball a lot. You know, I could really feel my body open when I was on the birth ball, and I just, you know, it was, I wanted to open. And so there was definitely, you know, that logical, skilled part of you. And I think also having practiced the skills so much was helpful, because that automatically came to me.
Yeah. You have to have practiced sufficiently that you have a default behavior. Now, I had a conversation with somebody from Korea the other day who works as a doula. And she had had a cesarean her first birth, and then she had a VBAC her second birth. Now, first of all, she absolutely, just as an individual, said if she knew she was going to have another cesarean, that she would never have prepared her body for birth or had skills. So that's an individual, but we would like you symbolically to understand what that means. That means that symbolically, not about her, this is symbolically, if we treat surgical births as though they're not births, then we are treating that baby as though its birth was not as significant.
Yes.
We don't want to do that, okay? So we want people who are going to have medical interventions or surgical births to enjoy preparing their body and learning birth skills and knowing that whatever happens, they can use birth skills. So first, this woman felt that way. And when I said to her, just what I've said to you guys, use birth skills, she said to me, but we don't want women to be passive. So if a doctor comes in and says they need an emergency cesarean, and they're just using skills, and they're going to use skills in the cesarean, then they're not going to stand up for themselves. That is not an A equals B. Because you're skilled, it doesn't make you passive.
Yeah.
In fact, when you are skilled, your birth professionals will work better with you. Right? And you are more likely to avoid unnecessary cesareans that come from your behavior, looking stressed, tired, exhausted, where you have a non-progression of labor because you don't know how to reduce your internal tension. So when Andrea's collected statistics for 10 years, what she has learned from her clients who self-learn, Andrea does not teach them as a midwife. She does not do the work on them. She, however, works with the families as she knows them because she then is a human being who has these skills. And so they can work together. She has found that when families are skilled, when she looks at her statistics, they self-produce every type of medical intervention.
Yes.
Okay. It doesn't amount to zero. They just are able to reduce it. When she looked at her statistics before and after having skilled families, all of the statistics got reduced. Okay. But what isn't shown in the statistics and what she discovered was even families who needed medical interventions, like the story you told at the beginning, that woman made a decision that even though she was going to be induced, even though she was going to be in bed, that she was not going to miss the opportunity of being a skilled woman.
Yeah.
And her husband wasn't going to stand back just because she had an IV in her arm. That couple got together. That's a conscious choice that you make. No matter what, your midwife didn't get there. You could have been a story on the news. Oh, we're so terrified that baby's coming now. Instead, you were confident parents because you were skilled. So skills increase your capacity to make decisions. And they're based on what is happening at the time. And you know that if something is untoward and it looks like you really do need some interventions or your baby needs some interventions, skilled families continue to work with the skills. They don't throw up their hands and go, well, I didn't get what I wanted, so therefore it's a terrible birth. They just go, this is our baby's birth. Our job as parents is to work with our baby's efforts to be born.